Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Avalon Technologies Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhoomika Nair from DAM Capital. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thanks, Dan. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to the Q2 FY25 earnings call of Avalon Technologies. To take us through the results today, we have with us from the management, Mr. Kunjal Bhijja, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Bhaskar Srinivasan, President, Mr. R. M. Subramanian, outgoing Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sriram Vijayaraghavan, Group Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Venki Venkatesh, Group Chief Sales Officer, Mr. Michael Robinson, Chief Operating Officer for US Ops, and Mr. Suresh Vyas, incoming Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Bhijja will give an overview of the business performance and will be followed up by Mr. Suresh's remarks on the financial performance, post which we'll open up the floor for Q&A. As we move forward, it is important to bear in mind that any forward-looking statements made during this call are subject to potential risks and uncertainties, both known and unknown. Now, without any further delay, I'll hand over the floor to Mr. Bhijja for his initial remarks, the CMD. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Bhoomika. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Avalon Technologies, I extend a very warm welcome to our Q2 FY25 earnings call. I will quickly introduce Avalon Technologies, especially for the ones who are joining us for the first time. Avalon Technologies established itself as a key player in electronics manufacturing services with a global reach. We take pride in our leadership in high-mix, flexible-volume manufacturing, serving a diverse range of industrial verticals, especially in mission-critical integrated solutions that require significant engineering expertise. We currently operate across 13 manufacturing facilities in India and the United States. We are also adding a new manufacturing facility in India. Our three key differentiators are vertical integration. We offer a complete box-build solution right from PCB design, new product development, to final product manufacturing. Number two, global presence, both in terms of manufacturing presence and customer base. Three, optimal mix of established industries like industrial, rail, aerospace, medical, communications, and emerging industries. Now, turning to our business performance, we are pleased to share that our anticipated growth has begun to take shape, setting the stage for the decadal growth ahead. Our confidence in this year's growth potential continues to be strong. The gradual recovery of our U.S. customers and the momentum we are gaining in India are the key drivers. Aligning with what we discussed in previous calls, key performance in this quarter include our improved profitability, driving operating leverage, improved net working capital days, and a growing order book. This provides visibility along with new business wins across industry verticals. During Q2 FY24, our revenues grew by 36.8% year-over-year. Gross margins improved from 33% in Q1 to 37% in Q2, driven by better product mix. We expect the full-year gross margins will continue to be between 33% and 35%, considering the expected revenue growth in the second half. As we had anticipated, the benefits of operating leverage are now visible, with EBITDA margins rising to 11% and absolute EBITDA growing by 140% year-over-year. Our PAT is at 17.5 crores, reflecting a 140% year-over-year increase, with a PAT margin of 6.3% in Q2. Regarding net working capital, we had previously targeted to improve by at least 10 to 15 days by March 2025. We are pleased to report that our net working capital has improved from 161 days in March 24 to 134 days in September 24, a reduction of 27 days, primarily due to better inventory management. Our order book grew by 19.4% year over year, reaching 1,485 crores as of September 30, 2024, with an average execution period of 14 months. Additionally, our long-term contracts, which extend beyond 14 months and span an average execution period of 2 to 3 years, increased by 10.2% year over year to 11,100 crores. In our earlier communications, we highlighted the cost optimization measures as we implemented to address the short-term challenges in our U.S. manufacturing businesses. First, by optimizing production allocation and shifting about 45 to 50% of existing U.S. production to our India plant, the revenue share from our U.S. manufacturing plant decreased to 11% in Q2 FY25. Down from 27% in Q1 FY24. We anticipate that manufacturing production will be around 15% for FY25. Second, rationalizing costs in our U.S. operation, we have made meaningful progress on this front. As a result, manufacturing at the U.S. plant, which now accounts for 11% of our revenue, reported a net loss of approximately 4 crores, an improvement from the 14 crore loss reported in Q1 FY25. Meanwhile, manufacturing at our India plants, which serves both domestic and global customers and represent 89% of our business in Q2 FY25, remains highly profitable with an EBITDA margin of 13.7% and a PAT margin of 8.7% in Q2 FY25. We had earlier highlighted our three engines of growth: existing U.S. business, new U.S. business, and growing Indian business. The recovery of our existing U.S. customer base, shifting from destocking to restocking at various rates, underscores the strength of our long-term customer relationships. Additionally, our recent wins in industrial, clean energy, and auto sectors with leading U.S. companies are advancing from design and prototype phase to commercial and ramp-up production in the coming periods. In the fast-growing Indian market, our increased focus over the last 1 to 2 years has led to the key wins in industrial, rail, aero, and communication sectors, which we believe will advance to commercial production over the course of the next few quarters. We are encouraged by the traction across all three growth engines. We sustain our confidence in guiding to 16 to 20% revenue growth for FY25. Turning to key deal wins, we continue to see strong traction across multiple sectors in both India and the US. Notably, we secured new businesses in our railway vertical from a global leader and a Boxville contract from a major industrial customer. We are also making strides into aerospace and communications with new orders. Overall, the momentum in new wins and expanding opportunities strengthens our confidence in achieving sustained growth. On the infrastructure front, we are pleased to report that a new plant in Chennai dedicated to export operations is now complete and has begun production. Additionally, phase one of our brownfield expansion in Chennai and aimed at meeting growing domestic demand is finished, and phase two is expected to start the second half of FY25 as planned. This puts us in a strong position to handle any increased demand anticipated in the coming period. With the expected revenue growth in the coming years, combined with the established team and infrastructure in place, operating leverage will be a key advantage. Our profit growth is expected to outpace our revenue growth due to the following reasons. We maintain industry-leading gross margins as we expect to sustain these margins depending on product mix and ramp-up. Most of our costs, aside from material expenses, are fixed, which drives operating leverage as revenue scales. Our strong focus on improving working capital will allow us to release additional cash, further supporting growth and profitability. I would like to take a moment to announce a management change. Mr. Arun Subramanian, our beloved CFO, is pursuing a new career opportunity outside our company. We thank him for his valuable contribution over the last 5.5 years and wish him the very best in his future endeavors. We are also pleased to welcome Mr. Suresh Veerappan as our Group CFO, a chartered accountant with an MBA from ISB. He has been with Avalon for about 2.5 years and has previously worked with organizations such as Grant Thornton, State Bank of India, Bank of America, and the Tatva Group. During his time at Avalon, he has played a key role in leading our business, finance, and investor relations functions. In summary, we are seeing strong signs of growth, which we expect to sustain and accelerate through the second half. I would like to thank each of you for being a part of our journey. FY25 will be a pivotal year for us, and we look forward to sharing this path with you. We are preparing our organization for sustained growth in the coming years. Avalon remains committed to building a business focused on long-term profitable growth rather than short-term gains. With that, I would like to hand over the call to our CFO, Suresh Veerappan, for a detailed overview of our financial performance. Thank you.
Thank you, KB, and good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining the call today. Before we delve into the financial performance, I want to take a moment to thank Mr. Arun Subramanian for his valuable contributions as CFO. Working alongside him over the last 2.5 years has been a great experience. I also extend my gratitude to the Avalon board for their trust in me as I take on this responsibility. I am committed to upholding our high standards and building on the progress we have achieved. This is an exciting time to step into this role, particularly with the growth momentum we are gaining now. I am eager to contribute to the next phase of our growth journey. Looking ahead, my focus will be on driving efficiency, profitable growth, and optimizing capital and using it to drive shareholder value. I am dedicated to maintaining the financial discipline and transparency our investors expect, and I look forward to maintaining an open dialogue as we move forward together. Turning to our Q2 FY25 performance, we recorded revenues of INR 275 crores, which marks our highest quarterly revenue. This reflects a 37% year-over-year increase from INR 201 crores in Q2 FY24 and a 38% sequential growth from INR 199 crores in Q1 FY25. This growth is supported by gradual recovery among our US customers and steady momentum with our Indian customers. Our geographical revenue split for the quarter was 41:59, with India contributing INR 113 crores and US INR 163 crores. Our gross profit for Q2 FY25 reached INR 101.3 crores, a 36% year-on-year increase from INR 74.5 crores in Q2 FY24, with a gross margin percentage of 36.8%, slightly down by 0.21% from 37.1% in the same period last year. We continue to deliver industry-leading gross margins. EBITDA for Q2 FY25 was INR 30.1 crores, a 140% increase from INR 12.5 crores in Q2 FY24, resulting in an EBITDA margin of 11%, up 470 basis points from 6.3% in Q2 FY24. PAT rose to INR 17.5 crores, a 140% year-over-year increase from INR 7.3 crores, with a PAT margin of 6.3%, up 273 basis points from 3.5% in Q2 FY24. The revenue growth has driven operating leverage, with profit growth outpacing revenue growth. For H1 FY25, our revenue stands at INR 474.5 crores with gross profit of INR 167.6 crores at a margin of 35.3%, EBITDA of INR 34.5 crores at 7.3%, and PAT of INR 15.2 crores at 3.1%. Moving on to the balance sheet, net working capital days improved significantly from 161 days in March 24 to 134 days in September 24, a 27-day reduction largely driven by better inventory management. Previously, we had set a target to reduce net working capital days by 10 to 15 days by March 25. Net inventory days improved from 118 in March 24 to 93 in September 24. Trade receivable days were stable moving slightly from 79 days in March 2024 to 80 days in September 2024, while trade payable days increased modestly from 36 days to 38 days over the same period. With a 38% revenue increase from Q1 FY25 to Q2 FY25, receivables rose from INR 170 crores on June 30 to INR 241 crores on September 30, resulting in negative cash flow from operations of INR minus 17.2 crores in Q2 FY25. However, for H1 FY25, our cash flow from operations remained positive at INR 18.7 crores. As of September 30, our total outstanding debt stands at INR 158.8 crores, with cash equivalents and investments at INR 188.4 crores, resulting in a net cash position of INR 29.6 crores. Our total capex for Q2 FY25 and H1 FY25 was INR 12.5 crores and INR 21.5 crores, respectively. With a capex-like model, our asset turns are strong at 8.4x. To summarize, our anticipated growth is beginning to take shape with steady momentum across both our US and Indian customers, reinforcing our confidence in achieving the FY25 revenue growth target of 16-20%. Key highlights this quarter include operating leverage driving improved profitability, reduced networking capital days, and a growing order book. We believe this year marks a pivotal point for our business, setting a strong foundation to capture long-term growth opportunities. Thank you. Over to the moderator for Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dhananjay Bagrodia from Ask Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hello, hello, Dhananjaya.
Hi, how are you doing? Congratulations on this fantastic result. Now that we've overcome the issues which were plaguing us earlier, how should one look at maybe now on the balance sheet side, how do we see return ratios now going ahead, and what more levers do we have in terms of maybe increasing our ROCs to like high double digits, or how should we look at that?
So historically, I'll have Suresh answer your question, but historically ROC has been north of 20% we intend to get there fairly soon. Suresh, you want to go into detail?
Sure. So like you rightly pointed out, we have started seeing our growth, and with the growth and operating leverage just coming into play, we should start seeing our ROCs going back to our historical levels. It should be significantly high from what we are seeing today.
But which lever do we see in this scope? Do we see asset turns improving, working capital reducing, or margin increase for the ROCs to go higher?
On both the aspects, the asset turn is also going to help. The working capital days also, we have started seeing some improvement. And with the margin improvement coming through, you should start seeing those results come into picture.
So what can we get our working capital to? Because see, some of the Indian players now have reached 60 to 70 days in working capital. Is that something we could reach?
Historically, we've been not at 60-70, but around 90 days. But our intention is to go towards that direction. It'll take some time to get there, but we intend to go there.
Okay. And so now that we actually, this could be in our favor that we actually have facilities in America, and if tariffs or something do come along, would we stand to benefit significantly as being a player in America?
So the way we look at it is that, of course, we need the U.S. to be our beachhead. We need customers to be comfortable to start making products there, then move to India. We're seeing a lot of that happen now because, you know, a lot of our business comes from the U.S. or other countries, but built in India. So if there are certain businesses which cannot be moved outside the country, we stand to gain from that. And if the new administration decides to do more in the U.S., we are happy. The customers ultimately will make the choice at two different price levels, one in, you know, higher cost in the US, and if they need a... So customers have both solutions today. So it's a choice that they can make, and we are the only one positioned to do this in the Indian market today.
Okay. And lastly, sir, how do we see our CapEx intensity over the next couple of years?
We have historically said that we will do 40 to 45 crores a year because we operate a satellite model. And for the foreseeable couple of years, we see that remaining so.
Okay. Fantastic, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope I answered all your questions. Yes?
Sure, I'll come back if anything else more. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Krishnan from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Deepak, very much.
Yeah. So I just wanted to sort of understand on the clean energy bit. You know, we've seen a sharp recovery. So this is where we see a big delta coming through. But, you know, there is obviously murmurs of, you know, how much the IRA would be kept in potential reversal of a lot of policies on IRA, and historically we have indicated that clean energy can be as high as about 35% of top line. So just outlook in terms of how are you seeing this clean energy recovery, how sustainable is it, or is there sort of a big risk from a medium term perspective that, you know, if these benefits are rolled off, then our green hydrogen customer or our home electrification customer, their business is sort of, you know, less viable. And similarly, I think you already alluded to this with respect to US, wanted to understand that if more manufacturing goes there, you know, do we sort of benefit because we're still reporting losses at a pretty healthy revenue base. So how do we look at U.S. operations with, you know, potential nearshoring that is going to happen?
Well, Deepak, I'll try to answer. If I missed any question, please let me know. Okay. The first part of your question was on the clean energy. So today, last quarter's result, there's not much of clean energy. It is the standard, it's the growth. So a lot of our clean energy growth is yet to come, and it will come in the later quarters. And on your second part of the question was that with the IRA and the new administration, what's going to happen? So we are in the clean energy side, which is growing at 60 to 70%, which is the storage side, is what we're doing in the US. It's not solar or inverters or anything that way. It is storage, which is growing and which is a requirement there. So tomorrow, even if the IRA bit is not there, the customer has a choice. He's paying a lot more to make it in the US. It's an easy switch for him to make in India. That is what we offer today. Okay, so he is protected either way. If he needs the benefits of the IRA, it's going to be in the US. If he needs the cost effective version of his product coming out of India without the IRA, we can do that also. So that way we are covered on both sides. The answer, I think there was a third part of a question, I don't know if I missed it.
Yeah, I think just what you sort of understand now, if nearshoring, you know, what level of revenue growth or numbers do we require for US to break even?
So what we're seeing a transition now. So what we have done is around 45 to 50% of the product which is produced in the US in the last 6 to 9 months with customer approvals have been slowly and surely got transferred to India. You see a lot of that happen. The only thing we intend to keep there is products which need to be built in the US and a customer can pay higher cost for doing that. So same like how we have a Make in India initiative, certain products, they don't move out of the US. So the options are open and the rationalization of cost is still going on because some of the transfer is complete, some of that is work in progress. But we anticipate a lot of US business hopefully coming in with what's happening now. So what, though we are at 11% now on U.S. manufacturing, we think this year we'll do around 15% as U.S. manufacturing.
Sure. Maybe just one follow-up. I just wanted to sort of look at the revenue guidance of, you know, even if I take the higher end of 20%, that sort of implies about a 280 crore quarterly run rate for the second half. And, you know, slight dip in gross margins. So, you know, the term margins may be in the range of 8 to 9% for 2H.
Are you sort of being conservative in terms of revenue guidance, given the strong performance and the anticipated recovery? Is there a possibility that, you know, we could do much better than what we're sort of guiding?
We just see, we are coming through a tough period. If you remember, around this time last year, a little earlier than this, is when we saw the destocking happen. It was across the board with you know, four or five industries, you know, we kind of came out to the market and said, you know, we are seeing this with customers. But we're seeing the opposite effect of that now. So customers have come back at various levels back to us. And we shouldn't forget we have new customers too, which are kicking in and cutting in at different levels.
Maybe just follow up, if you could sort of highlight what level of restocking are we on an overall basis? And, you know, when do we sort of get back to 100%, or are we already there sort of?
In some of it, we are more than 100%. Some of them, we are still coming there. So it's at varying levels, we can't say that, you know. But at an overall scale, if you look at it from a year-on-year basis, we are just looking at the numbers here. So US growth has been, on a year-on-year basis, last quarter, has been 59%.
Sure, sir. Those are my questions. Best of luck for future quarters.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meet Jain from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on the very good set of numbers. First question is regarding the clean energy in the US operation. So as we the earlier participant also highlighted that there will be certain backlash on the clean energy projects in the US market. And as you know, we have a client into solar panels and everything. So how much percentage of that will be impacted? Have you done a rough estimates what kind of impact it will be apart from any other business?
Thank you, Meet. A lot of our growth last quarter is in spite of the clean energy business. And just to let you know, the clean energy business, we are not doing solar panels, we are not doing inverters, we are doing storage or home electrification systems where they store energy. That is growing at a 70% year over year, 60 to 70% year over year in the US. So we are in a growth. And that part is not even, relative numbers are not played out yet, and it's going to play out in the future.
Understood. My next question is on our full year guidance. So we are estimating around 16 to 20% kind of growth, and seeing the current trajectory and the recovery, I want to understand where are we seeing, as you also earlier mentioned that there is some restocking happening and there is still restocking pending, but this quarter being a recovery, can we see a strong growth going ahead and touch a higher number?
So we are positive about growth, you know, looking at the midterm, long term, absolutely. You know, there's no reason why we shouldn't doubt it. But we're just coming out of a period which is a slowdown. So we will have sustained growth in the next few quarters for sure. And then we always are confident we're just waiting for the new customers to cut in. They're at different levels today. They should start cutting in part of Q4 and some in Q1. Which will give us, you know, very consistent good growth over 25.
Okay. And the last question is on this manufacturing shift to India. As this quarter we indicated, our Indian manufacturing is almost 89%. So will this go increase further in India? Because when we see our employee cost as a percentage of sales, it has came down by almost 5.7 percentage points. So what will that level going ahead with this kind of manufacturing?
Suresh, you want to take that?
Sure. So right now what we see is the mix in revenue between our India plants and US plants, like you rightly said, is 89% and 11%. On the... Can you repeat the question, please?
You said it's come down by 5.2%. So that will sustain as our top line goes up. You'll see that number come down because, like we said, our operational leverage is going to play out because a lot of our costs are fixed in nature.
So on this, like, are we gonna further shift the manufacturing, and what is the ideal ratio? So as you mentioned, 15% revenue of manufacturing mix will be there by end of FY 2025. Will this be sustainable going ahead? And if yes, what will be the employee expense ratio as a percentage of sales? Because when we compare this to domestic peers, they range in the range of 8%-9%, and currently, after shifting almost majority of our manufacturing in India, we are at 17%. So how much closer we can get to that?
Yes, Suresh, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So, first of all, today, what you see as 89.11, I think, on a full year basis, we see it to be at around 85.15. That is point one. On the second point, in terms of employee cost, the key aspect to note there is, for us, most of our employee costs are fixed in nature. Okay? So as and when we start seeing the revenue growth to come and happen, the operating leverage effect will start to play, which is what a semblance of what is what you started seeing in the Q2. We should sustain this operating leverage in the coming quarters. Rather than putting a percentage, I will leave it at that. We should start, we should continue to see this operating leverage effect going forward also.
Can we touch a double-digit kind of margins comfortably this year?
On the EBITDA level, yeah.
See, on a... Definitely, our profit growth is going to exceed our revenue growth. There have been quarters where we have touched those higher numbers for sure at EBITDA level. We would want to wait for a quarter or two before putting a number on that.
Sure, sure. Thanks a lot for all the questions. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you, Meet.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipraw Srivastava from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm audible, right?
Yes, Vipraw, you are very much.
Yeah, just a question on the clean energy business. So a majority of battery installation in U.S. happens because of 30% credit on IRA, right? Because government reimburses 30% of the money, which will residential battery storage owner. Now, if there's any tweak in this 30% number, there's a very high likelihood that this demand will come down. So in that scenario, this base growth, which we're seeing of 70%, that number will start coming down if the IRA incentives are tweaked. So in that scenario, how do you plan to cope up with? Do you have any contingency plan? Any thoughts on that?
So let me make this. I think we are going in a different direction. A lot of our numbers in Q2, there's a very small number in this battery storage. Everybody's talking about it. But these numbers, the very small, very, very small part of it is the storage number. The potential of that growing in next year or late part of this year is huge, but we are not tied to that at all for our numbers.
Got you. Fair enough. So obviously-
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Vipraw. You are not audible. Could you come a bit close to your handset?
Oh, yeah.
Still not audible, sir. Mr. Vipraw? As there is no response from the current participant, we'll move on to the next question. The next question is from the line of Aditya Bhartia from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. So my-
Hi, Aditya.
First question is on the clean energy business itself. Over here, we've kind of gotten quite a few orders which have been included in the order backlog, and we've been anticipating expedited execution on those orders. But somehow there's been a bit of a delay. So just wanted to understand at what stage we are in, what is causing this delay, and by when exactly should we start seeing some of those new customers kicking in?
So like I mentioned before, a lot of our growth is not tied to this only customer. It's part of our growth, and if something large happens there, well and good for all of us. Saying that, the product is completely tested, approved, like last call I had mentioned. Now we are doing the first few hundred units, and then the ramp will start. So, that is not, you know, in... It's not counted in a big way in our Q4 and probably start in the Q1 numbers. Would that answer your question, Aditya? So it's not, the growth is not coming from that piece. That's where I'm a little worried that everybody thinks it's just that one customer. It is broad-based, whether it's rail, whether it's communication, whether it is industrial. It's growing from multiple industries, okay? And clean energy is one. And the potential for that to grow drastically is there. And with or without IRA, we are positioned well enough to be, to either make it in India or make it in the US.
Understood, sir.
You answer your question, okay?
And that brings me to, yes, it does, it does. I actually, instead of saying that clean energy has been driving growth, I wanted to ask why the ramp-up has been slightly slower than expected from the new customer, but you've kind of spelled it out. That maybe if it kicks in, then it can be a big opportunity from FY26 onwards. Some of the other verticals wherein we have seen quite a big jump, like the mobility vertical or medical devices vertical, if you could explain what exactly has transpired, is it broad-based restocking, or is there one, two, three large contracts that have contributed to it? Some color on that would be helpful.
A lot of the mobility, as you know, we are very well entrenched in the rail segment. We see a lot of activity. We signed even a new customer recently. We see a lot of requirement for the Indian Railways coming through our customers, whether it's interlocking, whether it's braking, whether it's cables. We're seeing a lot of activity, and some of that is primarily driven by the growth in India, which we are happy to be a significant part of. And of course, you know, we are also in the process of testing Kavach systems for our customers for interoperability. So that's another piece which may kick in into year 25. I wouldn't see that kicking in the next 3-4 months, but it's a lot of the testing and operations are going on, and our customer has been approved by the Indian Railways. So we are working jointly to get that piece. So that's on the mobility piece, on the rail piece. Then on the air piece, as you know, we have signed, you know, 10-15-year contracts. Some of them will start to get into production late part of this quarter, and starting some of the contracts will start in a monthly. It will be a gradual scale up in next quarter. So air and rail is, you know, margin-wise as well as on the location-wise, I think is probably going to be our fastest-growing segment in the near term. You had one more part of the question. I probably missed it.
Medical as well.
Medical, a lot of it is our existing customers coming back to full steam. Yeah.
Understood, sir. And so my last question, like this particular quarter, we have recorded almost 11% EBITDA margins, which historically, if we look at it, are close to the best margins that we've recorded, which used to be somewhere around 11 to 12%. However, the composition has changed wherein we have moved a fair bit of production from the US to India. Now, when you look ahead, do you think that this change in manufacturing setup can help you generate margins even better than what you have generated historically, or is our endeavor going to be to kind of sustain these margins and to have low double-digit kind of margins going forward as well?
So this, let's put this in perspective. You know, we have the industry leading materials less gross margins. So what we have seen quarters with higher EBITDA margins, okay, for sure. So if you look at 89% of our business, which is being built in India, okay, so that is, as of last quarter, I mean, you know, is running
13.7%.
At 13.7% EBITDA margin and 8.7% PAT margins. So 90% of our business is delivering that today, okay. The 11% is not delivering as much. But that is the bet on the future. So tomorrow what we get through the US is very relevant and very critical for the India piece growth with the higher margins. If you are chasing business at all costs, which we are not. Okay, it's a different story. But we are looking at profitable growth and seeing how we can sign businesses which make sense, which are long-term, 5 to 15 years. Usually, our products last for 5 to 15 years, and we intend to keep it that way. Did I answer your question, Aditya?
To a large extent, yes, sir. But how should we then think about it? Do you feel that Indian margins that you're recording in India can be sustained? And as we start doing more in the US, from whatever 4 crore rupees of loss, that can also be translated into profits, and therefore overall consolidated level margins can be significantly better. Is that how you're kind of thinking about it?
Absolutely, Aditya. We believe that happens. We need time, but overall it's not bad yet. It's only going to improve going forward.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Aditya.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan from Niveshe. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. How audible?
Hello, Karan. Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Just had a couple of questions. So we have a very healthy order book of around 1500 crores, and so just wanted to get your outlook, not for this year, but maybe next. For the next 2-3 years, if you would be able to grow at a good 20-25% rate with similar margins around 9-10%?
Yeah, I think we will, and our endeavor is always to grow faster. But our order book is fairly strong, and we see more getting added to it. And just to, in the order book for the 12 to 14 months, we have an order book of 1485 crores. The long term, which is only between 14 months to 3 years, we got another 1100 crores. We are not counting anything which is over 3 years, and some of our contracts are up to 15 years in the aero world. We are not counting those numbers, so we are trying to be relatively, I would say, conservative in the sense of we look at contracts and orders.
Okay, the next question would be what would be the capex this year, and also if you could highlight the current capacity utilization levels?
So I would say our capex, like we said, because our asset turns are fairly high, we always target between 8 and 10 times. So we anticipate around 40 to 45 crores each year for the next 2 years at least. Of course, if there's something substantial which is, out of what we are planning for comes through, that will change. But as of today, we want to maintain the 8 to 10 times asset turns, as well as make ourselves an asset-light model and spend 40 to 45 crores per year.
And the current capacity utilization would be?
Yeah, it will be between 65-70%.
On a two-shift basis.
On a two-shift basis.
Okay. Also, this year, this quarter, the performance of the subsidiary has been very, really good. So, were there any sector that, stand out from others, or was it in line of the company performance, the industrial and the mobility sector?
I didn't understand. I didn't get your question, Karan. Can you please repeat it?
So the performance of the subsidiary was good this quarter. It reported good numbers. So wanted to understand which sectors drove this performance.
So it will be more relevant for to look at us as a consolidated entity, because that is the numbers which you are presenting from the industry verticals within the presentation as well. In terms of growth, KB had mentioned earlier, we are seeing broad-based growth across the verticals. Within India, the growth is being driven by mobility, communication, and industrials. And within US, it has been, on the auto side and on the industrials over there.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much, and all the very best.
Thank you, Karan.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipraw Srivastava from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. I'm audible now, right?
Yeah, perfect. We lost you there for a minute.
Sure, no issues. Just a question on the, obviously in this quarter you have done very well on transportation and industrial. So I mean, how is this growth coming from? I mean, is it from India or is it from, I mean, US? I mean, some sort of a breakup you can give in terms of, yeah.
Yeah, so we, in the last couple of years, our goal is to be 50-50, 50% India and 50% export. Okay. Last quarter, it was 60% export and 40% India. So we, and each quarter it will vary depending on, you know, which customer it is. But our goal is to always have a 50-56. And it will go back 3 years to 80% export and 20% India. So we are, our India side of the business, the size is growing. Did that answer your question?
So Indian business mainly goes to kind of which segment?
India business? India business primarily from rail and from air. Okay, rail is the fastest growing, and then of course industrials is a big piece. And we have started to do some defense and things.
Okay, fair enough. So, and sir, on industrials, I mean, obviously, in the past there was an inventory situation in US, and now rate cut cycle has also begun. So, I mean, what's the commentary from your end clients? Is it just restocking, or also has the demand side coming back?
So, some of it, of course, they were, you know, in the destocking phase, they had a 1 year's inventory rate. So today we are coming back to our normal normal rates. Certain customers in that 1 year, we have got new products, so the quantum of comeback is larger. Okay, certain customers, we have new products which are building for them. So we are also, you know, going deeper into the customer. So it's just not the destocking, restocking. I think that, you know, that 1 year story, which I believe is done, and we're seeing, you know, the tail end of it.
Right. And then, last question. So by the end of this year, I mean, roughly, what will be your clean energy mix in the revenue according to your expectation?
So I believe that we continue the normal thing, and we think it will be, you know, each of the segments we want to be between, some of it we are diversified, so it will be between 20% and 25% is what we see. So some of it, certain quarters industrial may do better, certain quarters mobility may do better. So I think the diversification is there.
Right. And the order book mix is in line with the revenue mix, or is it something different?
That is true. It will be in line with the revenue mix.
Pretty close to the revenue mix.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Vipra.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratap Maliwal from Mount Infra Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, Pratap, you are.
Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you, Pratap.
Thanks for taking my question. Nice interacting with the management again. So I just have a question on the employee cost, as a previous participant was also asking. So as you said that we have a higher fixed cost base, so is my understanding correct that this is because we have more permanent employees versus the share of contractual employees that maybe some of our peers may have in greater number, and also that we hire employees with perhaps different skill sets or maybe more qualifications than some of the other EMS players? So is my understanding broadly correct?
Close enough, Pratap. See, one of the reasons we do some mission critical stuff, so our level of employees are sometimes of the best carer to deal with that. And number two is that we have a U.S. side also, right? Which is, of course, the cost is there. And we do total integration. Box build is 50-55% of what we do. So that adds to the complications, but I would say otherwise you're fairly right on your statement.
Okay, and so just one thing I wanted to understand. So given that we kind of work at a higher gross margin of 33-35%, so when I look at our order book expansion potential in India, what can be our addressable market size? Because some of our other peers who might be working at lower margins, they work in the high volume set, right? Whereas we work on maybe the high margin, low to flexible kind of volume area. So what can be our addressable market, or how can we see our order book expansion kind of happening from here, particularly in India?
So in India, see, as you know, we are in the rail business, we are in the aero business. These are compared to the consumer type businesses, of course they have larger margins and larger complexity. And saying that, we always look for profitable growth in the sense, businesses which can sustain over, 5-10 years, and of course make sense for both sides, the customer and for us, to deal with it in the longer term. So we actually do sometimes walk out of businesses. It's just, if we wanted to have growth at any cost, we would sign up any customer and we could have a much higher growth rate. I mean, it's we can have a debate on that, but we have taken the path of the longer term customers with profitable growth. So if you look at us over the last 5 years, our material margin has always been between 33-35 or a little over.
Okay, understood. Okay, thank you for taking my question and congrats on a good set of numbers.
Thank you, Prasad.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Mehta from Perpetual Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Congratulations on the very good set of numbers.
Hello, Harsh.
Hello. Can you hear me, sir?
Larcher, can you hear us? Thank you. And we can hear you well, Harsh.
Yes, sir. So my question was, so in the last quarter, 89% of your revenue was from the Indian manufacturing facility, right?
That's correct, yeah.
So is this sustainable over, say, next 5 years or something? Or will it increase in the future?
We intend to make it sustainable, and we believe that we've done this over a long period of time, in good times and bad times. So I believe it will be, and we sign up businesses which cater to that or which we can drive towards that. It's not businesses giving you these margins. Certain businesses give you much higher margins, certain businesses give you lower margins. It's an average over industries and over products.
Right, and the margins on the Indian manufacturing segment only is 12.7% EBITDA as of 12.7% EBITDA, is it right?
13.7% EBITDA in Q2 and 8.7% PAT.
Okay, right. Thank you so much, sir. And this is sustainable, right, over the next span of 5-10 years?
That is true. Our growth has started to take shape now.
Yeah, we intend to make it, but of course, the world's a different place, but okay, that's our endeavor, let's put it that way.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That's it.
Thank you, Ash.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Agrawal, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Hello, Vikas.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify other operating expenses in Q2 S24. They are they variable or they are also fixed like a percent, or because the revenue has increased around 36%, but other operating expenses increased by 50%.
Yeah. So
I just finished off like so we assume, what should we assume, that and like there's a one-off expense, or we assume that the operating expense will follow whatever the margin percentage we follow in the Q2 FY25.
Sure. So because in Suresh, yeah.
Thank you.
Broadly below our gross margin, approximately 45-50% of our expenses are fixed in nature. Okay. And there is a fixed component as well as a variable component within the other expenses. It includes the forex gain and loss element as well in that.
Okay, so we can assume that, like, if we have a gross margin of 36.8%, so that 50% of the cost is fixed in nature, and 50% of that remaining is variable, right? Below the gross margin.
Approximately, yes, between 40-50%. That is correct.
Okay, thank you. Sir, one more question if I may ask, if I may add. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Vikas.
Yeah, we are talking about the, we are presently making a, last quarter we reported a loss of US operations around 14 crores. This year it has come down to 4 crores.
So maybe missed, I have missed, might have missed it out, but can we expect this loss to covered up and get to a break-even level, given that we continue with the ramp-up in Indian operations? And secondly, we are talking about the U.S. opportunities, like if the customers ask us to provide from the U.S. plants, so how are we in a position to ramp up that facility fast? I mean, what would be the lag period?
Okay. So we are trying to optimize the whole piece to see what needs to be there, what needs to be in India. So we have done a lot of it. As and when businesses come in the U.S., there's some good businesses which can come with higher margins, of course, which are a lot more. So that we will pursue that because that cannot come to India. Businesses we do there, either customer does not want to move to India or they're not allowed to move to India because they could be quasi a military defense type of product or an IRA-based product. So we want to keep the options open, but our goal from the start of the company is always to manufacture in India, which we are doing. And then the percentage, we have reduced it as a market condition. The cost in the U.S. has gone up. We have reduced it today to 11, and I think ideally it will be around 15% of our sales.
Okay. And sir, previously in the con call, we maintained somewhere that we aim to double our revenue in the coming 2 to 3 years. So do we stand by that guidance still? Or do we want to increase on it?
I believe we intend to do that, and then we should be there.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Bagrodia from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, Dhananjay.
Hi. Thank you for giving me a chance again. I just wanted to ask you, this order book gives you visibility for how many years in terms of what is the execution for this order book?
So if you look at the total of it, it's around 2,250 crores in the next 3 years. Out of that, 1,250 crores is for the next 12 to, well, sorry, 1,485 crores is for next 12 to 14 months. Then if you look at a three-year period, it's around 2,485 crores. But apart from that, we have orders and contracts. But it's over a period of, sometimes the longer-term contracts are, 5 years or in the aero business, sometimes 15 years.
Okay, so then this 1,400 is basically a confirmation that at least for the next 12 months, that much revenue we will get for sure. And then over and above, if any other order comes, then so be that. Is that fair assumption?
Fair way to look at it.
12 to 14 months.
So a typical contract? Hello? So typically contract gets executed over 12 to 14 months?
No, no, no. A contract, usually a contract is, in the industrial world, it's probably 3 to 5 years. In the railway world, it's a little longer, 5 to 7. The aero world, it's 15 years. So these POs are releases for production, and the smaller customers give you a PO for the next 6 months or 12 months.
Okay. So, okay, fine. So at least we have visibility of 1,200 for the next 1 year, that much, unless there's some like great.
No, 1,485.
1,485, that much this. And even if, let's say, if there was a switch or there's a big reduction in commodity prices now, we won't have, and we have bought some of our raw material earlier, will we take that hit right now in the next few quarters?
Usually in our business, some of this is passed back to the customer if it fluctuates a lot. Okay, so it's not a cost price model.
No, no. See, we hold inventory over 60 days, and steel prices, I mean, sometimes we hold inventory over 90 days. Steel prices have significantly reduced in the last 60 days. So let's say if we have inventory of before, that could impact us in Q3, Q4, or how does that work?
Dhananjay, Suresh here. So
firstly,
over the last 4 to 5 years, we were able to maintain our gross margins at a stable level of between 34-35%.
Okay. And this is during the period of COVID when the commodity prices were volatile. Okay.
Okay.
So I think that should answer the your question, hopefully.
Okay, fine. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neil Nadkarni from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I just had a couple of questions from my end. So first I wanted to know if you can throw some light on how big is the design our design employee team. And other one was that we had also a couple of quarters back we were spoken about the high performance computing. So any update on that also? We had, I think, tied up with CDAC. And lastly, if how is the seasonality in your business, if you can throw some light on all of these. Yeah, thank you.
Can you repeat the first part of your question? I missed it. Yes?
Yeah, I want to know how big is our designing team? How many number of employees are there in that? Yeah.
So it's around 130 to 135 employees. Okay, we do PCB design and we do it for the larger players in the world. And some of them are not into our manufacturing side, but most of our key customers are on the semiconductor side.
Right. So, so just a point on this. So, is this, if you look at the peers, is it at the higher end? Are designing employees on the higher end? That's why that can also one of the reasons why our total employee cost as a percentage of sales is higher. Or
No, I wouldn't say it's more on the U.S. India side rather than the most of the design engineers are in India, so they're comparatively reasonable in cost. And
Mr. Neil, does that answer your question?
Yes, and also on the high performance computing space, so any development on that and the seasonality in the business?
So the work is still in progress. I think we are also working on hopefully some newer programs. So we are waiting for some releases, like in the last call I said. When it all happens, we'll be more than happy to announce it. But we don't want to redo it, but there's a lot of work going between the two companies.
Mr. Neil, does that answer your question?
Yeah. And last on the seasonality part, sir, so is there any seasonality in the business?
Not much, because we are well diversified. Of course, the seasonality for us came as restocking. All the seasonality, but it was the long term. So, but otherwise, it's fairly, you know, because of diversified, if some industry slows down, we have other industries that pick up. That has been our usual way to look at our business.
Yeah, sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankush Mahajan from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, I missed an initial remarks. The what kind of order in any guidance for the order inflow, sir, for this year?
I don't want to give that out yet. We are, but to say that we are on the verge of some large contracts coming in. Until it comes in, we don't want to give out the work. But our order book has grown 19.5% year over year, and we believe that order book is only going to improve.
So any numbers in terms of the margins you put for guidance for the margins for the full year?
Yes, sir, you want to take that?
We do not provide any particular guidance on the margins per se. But we should start seeing the benefits of operating leverage playing out in the coming quarters.
Thank you, sir. That's from my side.
Thank you, Ankush.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Bhumika Nair for the closing comments.
Yeah, I would like to thank everyone and particularly the management for giving us an opportunity to host the call. Thank you very much, sir, and wish you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you, Bhumika. We are encouraged by the robust support from our investors. You are committed to reinforce the trust that our investors have in our company. I sincerely appreciate your steadfast support and confidence in Avalon Technologies. Together, we are set for a remarkable journey of profitable growth and success. Thanks to everyone attending the call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thanks for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.